All right. Good morning. I want to open us with a word of prayer real quick. Father, we thank you. That is our prayer. That is why we gather, is our prayers that Emmanuel, not only as we celebrate this Christmas season, we know that he has come, but we pray that the invitation for him to join each of us in our personal story, Father, that is why we do what we do out here, why we gather, is to spread the greatest story ever told. And so I pray that story over each and every heart this morning. As we pray it many times, whether we have been walking with you for 50 years or if that relationship is yet to begin, we pray that today would be a day that when we leave this place, we could say that we've inched a step closer to you. Father, the invitation is there for each and every one of us. No matter what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do, you have invited us into fellowship with the King of Kings. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. And we just pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We say a lot here at the church at Southside that stories matter, okay? You may have heard that. We say that everyone's story matters. Every story is safe here. Doesn't matter what you brought in. Doesn't matter what you're leaving with, that you have a place here. And we believe that that's a powerful statement because story speaks. Story is the language of our heart. If you don't believe me, there's a movie industry that is literally worth billions and billions of dollars because people love a great story. Would you agree? Story speaks to our heart. It's the reason that when you haven't seen a buddy in a while and you run into them, you normally say something like this: "What, man, what's been up with you?" In other words, tell me a story. What's been going on in your life? Because story speaks. We care about what's going on. One of the coolest stories, I think, told at least on the big screen or on pages of a fictional story is The Lord of the Rings. Anybody ever read or seen anything of The Lord of the Rings? One person, or is it too cold to raise your hand? All right, there's a couple more. All right, there's a couple of characters, Sam and Frodo, and there's a quote that just speaks to this, and it says this: Sam asking Frodo, "I wonder what kind of story we have fallen into, Mr. Frodo." It's a wonderful question, a great question, one that each and every person here, I hope that you ask this morning, what kind of story have you fallen into? Have you ever thought about that, that your life is story, that your life is written out? It is a story. You've had a beginning. One day you will have an end, hopefully a long time from now, but you are in the middle of this story, right? That you are living in your story. I want you to know that no matter where your story has brought you, no matter where it started, no matter where it will end, you have been invited into an epic story. A great and wonderful story. And if you think about these stories, most of the time when we hear a great story, most of them start with something like this. If you take yourself back to childhood and you remember the stories that were read to you or the stories that you saw unfold on a big screen, most start with something like this. Once upon a time. You ever heard that? Well, the Bible recounts that, and it's really more like this. Instead of once upon a time, the Bible puts it this way: in the beginning, right? We have this once upon a time moment, this epic story that is continuing to be written as we speak. Once upon a time is in the beginning. Now, if you were to ask most here and say, when did everything start? Most would say, well, that's an easy one. That's an easy Bible trivia question. Page one, it says, in the beginning. But if I was to tell you this morning, maybe you've never thought of it this way, if I was to tell you this, that in the beginning is really not the beginning at all. If you want to look at like the acts of a play, like Act 1 and Act 2 and Act 3 and Act 4, really the beginning of Genesis 1:1 is really Act 3. Let me just explain a little bit. I'm going to get deep this morning and give us a brief lesson of the history of all time, all right? In the beginning is Genesis 1:1. We know this, but there is another in the beginning. Actually, only two times in Scripture this is ever mentioned, in the beginning. The first one is not Genesis 1:1. Listen to this one found. I'm going to read in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, Jesus is the Word, and this says that He was in the beginning with God, and He was God. I want you to know this morning as we enter this Advent season, as we talk about Christmas, I want you to know that Jesus did not just pop on the scene one Christmas morning. Jesus has always been, in fact, John 1 tells us that He had a hand in everything that was created. This is Act 1, that God has always been. There was no beginning to God. He has always been. And yet, someone so powerful inviting us into an epic story, a personal story, wanting a personal relationship with you, someone who has always existed, always been. Act 1 is God. He has always been. Act 2, I won't get into the scripture of it, but you know the story of a rebellion in heaven with Lucifer, right? This predates man. It predates us popping onto the scene because we know that when we show up in our beginning moments in the garden, there is this serpent, there is one who is tempting, there is some form of evil. In fact, I want you to know this morning, in fact, this may bring it into light. This may be the very reason that some of you are here this morning to hear this. You have a very real enemy. Most believers ignore this act of this grand play altogether. We forget the idea that there are enemies in our life. And listen to me, I believe this with all my heart. Your life will not make sense until you recognize that you have an enemy. This world is not our home. This world was meant to be perfection. It was meant to be Eden, and then sin enters the picture. And then all of a sudden, if we understand that we have an enemy, all of the crappy things that have happened in our life, all of the sadness, all of the hurt, all of the loss, all of the pain, doesn't it make a little more sense to understand that we have an enemy? So we see this in Act 2 of this grand play of in the beginning that these angels rebel and a third are cast down with Lucifer. So Act 1, God has always been. Act 2 is rebellion. It is not until the rebellion and as we humans enter the picture that we see Act 3, creation and the second in the beginning that is in Scripture. God creates beauty. All the beautiful things that you've ever seen enter into the scene on Act 3. That God, the powerful God that has always been, that has withstood rebellion, speaks into existence everything you've ever seen. All of the beauty, all of the mountains, the ocean, the sunrise, the sunset, the moon and the stars, all of these things. And He says in this words, this shows that Jesus has always been, because God is having a conversation, let us make man in our image. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in perfect fellowship creates beauty. This epic story is continuing to be written. And I love the fact that in Scripture that He creates and He looks at all of the wonderful things, the sun, the moon, the ocean, the lakes, the rivers, the mountains, the trees, and all of these things, the animals. And when He says this, God in each and every moment says, this is good. Would you agree? You've been in places like that where you've seen a beautiful sunrise or sunset and you would say, this is beauty defined. This is beautiful. This is good. God says the same, but yet He gets to the pinnacle of His creation, which is you and I. By the way, listen to me. Here's what I want you to get this morning. I want everybody to look this way, back in the back, look up here at me. This is not the you that has everything figured out. This is not the you that has all their stuff together. This is not the you that belongs to church and does the right things and says the right things and doesn't say the bad things or do the bad things. You, right now, living and breathing, if you have a pulse this morning, this is the you. So when He created you, personally, say your name, you, when He created you, He said, not only this is good, but this is very good. When God looks at you, no matter your past, no matter your present, no matter your future, whatever you do or don't do, whatever mistakes you make or don't make, it doesn't really matter that when He looks at you, He sees the pinnacle of His creation. In other words, when we look and see the most beautiful sunrise ever, God looked at that and said, that's good. When He looks at you, He says, that's very good. Doesn't matter if you stay under a bridge. It doesn't matter if you've got the needle in your arm. It doesn't matter. You are the pinnacle of His creation. And I would stake my life on it. Matter of fact, there's been that spirit of unrest and some people wanting to fight. If you want to fight, come fight me on something. I'll tell you that till my dying breath that you, no matter what, are the pinnacle of God's creation. You. Listen to me. Not the guy standing with the mic with the Bible open. Not because that Jesse sings a nice song. Not because somebody served you food in the line and Monograms Plus from Coleman came, and if you have monogramming needs, they'll help you out, right? Amen? All right, but they came to serve and they came to help, but that doesn't make them better than anybody else. That doesn't make them more of the pinnacle of God creation. It doesn't say that He looks and says, man, this is good. These people are very good, but these are really my favorite. No, every person ever created, very good. The pinnacle of God's creation. Then free will is given and we choose sin, right? This serpent, the crafty one that still is crafting lies and we still somehow buy them. God creates man for fellowship and knowing that we would choose our own way and yet still chose to create us. Does that not blow your mind? If you're honest this morning, am I the only one? I have been in a place before where I would ask, God, if you knew we were going to sin, if you knew we were going to cause so much hardship, why even bother? Has anybody else ever asked that? I asked that. God, I don't understand that. I'll tell you why. It's because He wants to invite us into intimate relationship, intimate fellowship with Him. That's what we were created for, was the garden. We were created for this. He created us for this fellowship and knowing. But He also still chose to create us knowing we would sin, and He created us knowing that He had already pre-planned to make a way for our restoration. Christmas is on the first pages of your Bible. If you didn't know this, I want to read this for you. In Genesis chapter 3, after sin, it says this. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field.'" Amen. Who likes snakes? If you do, God have mercy on you. I'm praying for you. "On your belly you shall go, and to dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the gospel on the first pages of your Bible. It wasn't some chaotic meeting of like, we've got to save them. It was always the plan to restore mankind. You see, we were born at war. There is an enemy. We were born at war. When we think about that, when we understand there's an enemy, it makes the craziness, the hurt, the sorrow, when we view it through that lens, it makes a little more sense that it never was supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be Eden. It was supposed to be perfection with no sin and relationship with God unhindered. Act 1, God has always been. Act 2 is rebellion. And Act 3 is our entrance to this story. But the climax of Act 3 is the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. We see this in the pages of our Bible, right? This, and really us living somewhere in between the end of Act 3 and this start of Act 4, that Jesus came and He lived a perfect life. He died in your and my place, rose again, and is ascended at the right hand of the Father. Act 4 is going to be beautiful. It is the restoration of all things, when all things are made new, when all hurt is set right, when all loss is gained back. Revelation 21:5 says this. This ought to make you say amen. "And He who was seated on the throne said this, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" This is what He said to John as he is getting this revelation. write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. There is coming a day when all things are set right. Everything you've lost, every hurt that you felt, all will be made right. Can I just tell you this morning, as you enter into the Christmas season, that none of that would be possible. The restoration of all things would not be possible without the death of Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? That Jesus' death, His life, His death, His resurrection changes everything. He gives us relationship, gives us an intimate fellowship with God. And so without the death of Jesus, this would not be possible. Can I just tell you something very basic, but I want you to think of it in these terms. Jesus' death would not be possible without Jesus' birth. Kind of makes sense, right? He lived a perfect life. He lived the life that we couldn't, and He died in your place. So why do I share this? Why do I share a 20-minute lesson on mankind's history? Why do I tell you about the acts, the God always existing, this rebellion, and then the act of us popping on the scene and Jesus being here living and dying, and that one day this next act is coming, and it's going to be the culminating thing of it all, that all things will be made new, is because of this. The Father didn't have to do any of this. I asked that question earlier. Have you ever just asked God, why did you do this? Why did you do this knowing that we would sin? It's intimate allies that He is creating, intimate fellowship that He is after. He wants it with you and He wants it with me. He created us for this very reason. Your story matters. And you've been invited into an epic story of love and redemption. And I want you to know this, that I believe as we continue to look the next couple of weeks, that Christmas happened, the first Christmas happened when Jesus was born for the renewal of all things. And you're a part of this awesome invitation. Can I ask a question? What kind of love is that? That a God would create us, invite us into this beautiful story, invite us into this beautiful world and say we are the pinnacle of His creation, and invite us into fellowship and saying you can take part, you can take part as a son or daughter, and in fact, I've already made a way. I am restoring and making all things new, and it's all through Jesus. Was always planned. He's always been. It was not some panicked meeting in heaven of they've messed up, they've sinned, now we've got to fix it. It was always the plan. Your restoration has always been the plan. Can I ask you to do something this morning? Just bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. We'll close with this. First off, to understand that you have an enemy and that you were born to a world at war, it makes all the loss, it makes all the hurt, it makes all the pain kind of make sense. Understand that this never was the plan for you. This was not the ultimate plan or desire. The ultimate plan and desire was fellowship with God in perfection, Eden. We messed that up and we would say, God, why do you let all the bad things happen? Why won't you save us? We've talked about that the last few weeks. He already has. He's already made a way. You are living and breathing right now for the fact that God created you for restoration and for fellowship with Him. If that doesn't make you feel loved, I don't know what will. Created with a beautiful purpose, the pinnacle of His creation. I'm going to do something. I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed in just a second. And I want you just to whisper it. You don't have to say it loud, but on the count of three, when I say three, I want you to whisper your name. One, two, three. Whatever name you just said is the pinnacle of God's creation. He loves you. He cares for you. Speaking gospel truth this morning, He has made a way for your restoration and your redemption. Your justification, we've talked about the last few weeks. To take away all guilt and to make you righteous. What love is that? That is the love of Christmas. That is the reason we celebrate. It's not just a baby in a manger. It is a baby that made restoration possible. Anybody want to say amen to that? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you We thank you for inviting us into an epic story. We thank you for placing us in a place where we could even possibly dream about restoration, that one day that you are already at work, that one day all things will be made new, that you are restoring Eden, a perfect relationship, that we won't have sin, there won't even be the temptation of sin. Enemy will be destroyed. We will be made right. We will be justified. We will have all guilt removed, and already, Father, celebrating our righteousness, a right and holy standing before you because of Jesus. Father, I pray that we have accepted the invitation into this grand story. If not yet, that today would be the day that we would say, I want that. I want to live a restored life. Father, the enemy can blind us. The enemy can throw things like we're not good enough, we're not welcome, we're not wanted. Father, you said we are very good. You called us the pinnacle of your creation. You made a way. We thank you for that. We ask for the restoration of hearts this morning through Jesus. If someone needs that this morning's never met you in a personal way, and they've maybe dabbled in religion or maybe just felt excluded and said, that's not for me, would today be the day that they would say yes to Jesus, say yes to a relationship? Father, we quit listening to the enemy's lies that we're not good enough, we're not welcome, we're not wanted. You have the final say. You have the final word, and restoration is available for all. We love you. We thank you. We pray your blessings on the rest of this day. We just, again, pray that Holy Spirit, your voice is spoken louder than the enemy, spoken louder than voices in our head of condemnation or curse that others have put on us. Maybe even our own voice that says we're not good enough. Holy Spirit, would you speak louder today than any voice here? We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Thank you so much.